Been blessed by our youth today, amen. Give God the praise. Amen. Thanks, young folks. We admire you. We love you. We respect you greatly. And I want you to know you're a blessing to our hearts this morning. You really are. On Mother's Day, to be able to come and lead in the service like you have. Let me take just a moment here to salute you moms. God bless you all. Would you all rise, all mothers in the building, upper, lower levels. God bless you. Let's thank them. Thank you. Thank you so much. We love you, and we hope you know that and never doubt that. Well, it's been a blessing to be in the house of the Lord this morning. I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me now as we look at Scripture. Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6 is where we're turning again. Last Sunday, I began to preach on the Lord's Prayer. And I told you we were going to be looking at this between now and the time of Vacation Bible School. Because Vacation Bible School is going to be built around the theme of a prayer safari. And the boys and girls and teenagers are going to be looking at this passage of Scripture in more detail. And so this is sort of to prime us and get us ready for that week that will be coming up just next month. In fact, it'll be sooner than we can imagine. Last Sunday, we began to look at this prayer, and we're going to be looking at different parts of it. And I invite you to look along with me at verse 9 and following of Matthew chapter 6 as we read this once again. And I hope that you have committed this as a matter of time with your family, maybe your own personal time as well throughout the week. I challenged you to do that last Sunday, and I hope you did. And if you did, you know what a blessing it is to consider these thoughts, these words, and to let them be a guideline for your prayers each and every day. All right, let's look at it once again here this morning. Matthew 6, verse 9. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. A little girl was trying to memorize that portion of Scripture. And here's the way she said it. Our Father which art in heaven, how does He know my name? Now that is true, isn't it? She got that right. When you think about our Heavenly Father, the One who made us and everything we see, and yet He knows our name, He's concerned about us, He loves us, and oh, how He yearns for us to come to Him in prayer, in believing prayer. So we're taking time to look at this carefully because this truly is a blueprint of blessing for your prayers and for mine. We call it the Lord's Prayer because the Lord is the one who gave it. But it is, in fact, a model prayer. It is a guide to prayer. And I want you to see some things as we get started here again today looking to this prayer. We're going to look in detail in just a moment at that line, Give us this day our daily bread. But I want us to take just a moment here as we get started to think about the prayer as a whole. And let me give you some thoughts about this Lord's Prayer that I think will be a blessing to you. First of all, I'd like to remind us all that it is a Christian prayer. It's a prayer for Christians. It's not a prayer for those that do not know the Lord. For you see, it begins, Our Father. Now, when we say Our Father, that's what we mean. He has to be our Father in order for us to pray that way. He becomes our Father when we trust the Savior, when we trust the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way, and we find forgiveness, and we know that our names are written in heaven. And so the prayer really can be summed up in a conversation between a child and his or her Heavenly Father. You may have noticed as we looked at it last week and then read it again here this morning, how the first part of the prayer focuses all upon the Lord Himself. Hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. And then the last part of the prayer focuses on our needs. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us. So you see there's a he or a thou, and then there's an us. And so that implies relationship, and relationship has to be there, and that is why we call it a Christian prayer. Second thing I want you to see, it is a concise prayer. It's not a very long prayer. Whether you read it or say it from memory, you can do so very easily in a matter of seconds, probably less than a minute if we were to put a clock to it. Less than 70 words, which reminds us that prayer doesn't have to be eternal to be effective. Prayer should not be measured in length, but in depth. That is to say, prayer needs to be known for its intensity, for its sincerity. Not just to say a lot and take up a lot of time. Now, there are times for seasons of prayer. In fact, Christ prayed all night long. There's certainly nothing wrong with that. But we don't have to get God's attention just by going on and on and on and on and on. And certainly when we pray in public, we shouldn't pray long prayers, as Jesus said, to be heard and seen of men. In fact, most of Jesus' recorded prayers are very short. And this one He taught us to pray is, in fact, a concise and short prayer. Thirdly, it is a comprehensive prayer. I mean, it covers everything you can imagine. Even though it's short, it covers the past. It covers the present. It talks about the future. It talks about the spiritual as well as the physical. I mean, it encompasses all there is about life. Your life and mine, everything could be included in the guidelines of this prayer. It's a comprehensive one. Fourth, it is a convenient prayer. Now, what we mean by that is, it's a prayer that you can use as a guide any day, any time of day, any need that may arise. Now, some have suggested that this should be prayed in the morning. And it does seem that some of these requests are more fit for the morning than they would be for the evening. For example, the one we're going to look at today, give us this day our daily bread. That's good to pray in the morning because you're anticipating the needs of that day. Unless you're one of those to get up in the middle of the night and get you a snack, then you might want to pray it at night. That would be appropriate in that case. And then some of the requests are more appropriate for the end of the day, like forgive us our debts, our sins, as we forgive our debtors. You've gone through your day. You realize that you have sinned and others have perhaps sinned against you. And so that's a good close of the day prayer rather than a morning prayer. Now, you might need to pray that in the morning if you sin in your sleep. And I don't know if you do. That's quite possible, isn't it? That we can sin in our sleep. You get the point. It's a prayer that's convenient for any time of day, and every time throughout the day, we can use this as a model on which to base our prayers. Now, it's also, number five, a challenging prayer. Now, what we mean by that is, when you pray this way and use this as a model, it's going to challenge you to step up to another level. I mean, you can't just live any old way and pray like this unless, that is, you're willing to be a hypocrite. But if you're praying this and you really mean it, and you're saying, thy kingdom come, that is, into my life, rule over me as well as my family and those that I have influence over. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. You talk about a challenge. If I'm really praying that way and mean it, then I can't be out of the will of God, can I? I've got to be willing to be a part of the answer. So this is a very, very challenging prayer. In fact, if we got no further than verse 9, our Father which art in heaven, even that is a challenge because when I say our Father, I am recognizing His authority over me. In Bible times, you know, fathers had authority. We've seen that change a lot in modern times. Fathers are no longer respected as perhaps they ought to be, but back in Bible times, even earthly fathers were respected to the utmost, in most cases. It was rare that a person did not respect his father or her father. How much more so would we transfer that respect to a heavenly Father? So you see how challenging this is simply by saying, our Father. We recognize His place, and we recognize ours, and we're willing to conform our behavior to His expectations and to His purpose and plan. Now, the last thing I want to mention to you is this. It's a confident prayer. It is a very confident prayer. You know, sometimes you pray and you wonder, is that really God's will? But I can tell you something. When you pray using this as a guideline, you can rest assured, you can be confident that God is going to hear, He's going to answer, He's going to bless, because you're praying right in line with how He told you to pray. You can't do any better than that. Let me give you this wonderful promise we find over in 1 John, the first epistle of John, chapter 5, verse 14. Listen, it says in verses 14 and 15, "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." It's wonderful to know that you're going to God and you're praying according to His perfect will. You cannot improve on that. It just gives you an assurance. It gives you a confidence in knowing that you're praying the right way. And He's going to honor that. And He's going to bless it. Somebody made this statement. As a matter of fact, his name was Robert Law. And I want you to hear this statement. "Prayer is a mighty instrument, not for getting man's will done in heaven, but for getting God's will done on earth." Think of that. Prayer is an instrument to get God's will done here on earth. So every aspect of this prayer is a matter of the will of God and the purpose of God and how we can conform to it. Now, let's give our attention here for the next few minutes to verse number 11. You know, that's as simple as it can be. Give us this day our daily bread. Very simple little request. But I want to point out three things that I see that we find in this simple little verse. First of all, in this kind of prayer, we recognize, we demonstrate our humility. When we pray that way, it kind of puts us in our place. Give us this day our daily bread. We are demonstrating that we're relying upon the Lord for that day's provisions, for that day's supply. He is, in fact, a provider of all the things that we need for that day. And so it's a good thing that we come to the Lord in prayer in a humble spirit, recognizing that prayer is not to inform Him, prayer is not to advise Him, prayer is simply to submit to Him and say, "Here I am, and I need You again, and here I am coming back, and thank You for the privilege, and I know that You're the one who's going to supply everything that I need." You know, in our country, we have a document known as the Declaration of Independence. I'd like to think of prayer as our declaration of dependence. It is our declaration of depending upon God. Every time we pray, it is an acknowledgement that we cannot handle life by ourselves. For a person to think he can handle it without God's help is ignorant and arrogant. You can't do it. Now, even if you've got a lot of food in your cabinets and a lot of food in your refrigerator and you've got a big sum of money and, you know, you're not wanting for anything, recognize as you go to God each and every day, He's the one that gave that to you. And without Him, you wouldn't have it. And without Him, you can certainly lose it right quick. And He doesn't have to give it back. You know, we need to see ourselves as a little child. I want you to turn to Matthew chapter 7, just another page over, and probably in your Bible, as it is in mine. And I want you to read along with me what it says over here as Jesus expounds on this matter of prayer. And He gives us this reminder in chapter 7, verse 7. Beautiful words. He says in chapter 7, verse 7, "Ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son asks bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks a fish, will he give him a snake? Will he give him a serpent? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask Him?" This is a beautiful, beautiful account of what prayer is all about. What Jesus reminds us of is not only the fact that the Heavenly Father knows what's best for us, and gives us exactly what's right. It would never give us anything harmful or anything hurtful. Even earthly parents don't do that. But what he reminds us of is, when we go to the Lord in prayer, we should always go as a child to a father. In other words, I don't care how old you may be or how young you may be, whenever you go to the Lord in prayer, see yourself as a little child. That's humility. And that's what we need in prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. I'm just a child, Father. And I need you to take care of me and my loved ones. And apart from your care, there's no telling what will happen to me and my loved ones today. We cannot make it on our own. We're totally dependent upon you. Listen, prayer is a declaration of our humility. I want you to see in the second place that in prayer, we communicate our needs. We demonstrate our humility. We communicate our needs. The senator who served our country back years ago, Adlai Stevenson, once said this, and I quote, "Understanding human needs is half the job of meeting them." Well, he spoke as one who was concerned about the needs of the country and his constituents. But that leads us to something else. Not only is there the understanding of human needs, but there is the meeting of human needs. And here's where God's got it all covered. He knows what our needs are, and He's the only one able to meet them. We demonstrate our humility, but also we communicate our needs. Now, the Bible tells us, if you look again in Matthew, look to the early part of chapter 6. If I can find it here without my Bible falling apart. I think it's here. I've got it. Matthew chapter 6. I want you to look down here in verse 5 and 6. Verse 5, "When thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, that is a private place. When thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." In other words, you get alone with God in the private place, and God can understand, and He'll see exactly what you're doing, and He'll understand what you're saying, and He'll know your very heart. Look again what it says in verses 7 and 8. "But when you pray, use not vain repetitions," that is over and over and over reciting certain things as if you've got to wake God up or get God's attention. "The heathen do that," he says, "for they think they shall be heard for their much speaking." Now verse 8. "Be not ye therefore like unto them, for your Father knoweth what things ye have need of before ye ask Him." Now the question some would ask is, if God knows my needs before I pray, then why pray? Simple answer to that simple question. It is because through prayer, that is the way God operates in our lives to meet our needs. It's not that you're informing God. It's not that you have to offer God information. It's that in accordance with His purpose and plan and His perfect will, you are lifting your requests to Him, and through that, through your prayers, God answers and supplies your needs. So we communicate our needs as a matter of obedience, not as a matter of having to inform God. He already knows what those needs are. But there's just something about when we pray and we make those needs known, then it prepares us for what's going to come. And what's going to come are the answers. And when we get the answers to our prayer, then we recognize that He was the doer of it. He was the supplier. He was the one that took care of those needs. And in fact, He delivered. The Bible says, "You have not because you ask not." You see, God gives us desires that only He can satisfy. He's the great provider. He's the great giver. The Bible says every good gift and every perfect gift comes down from above. He's the great satisfier. One thing we find in the Scripture is that God always supplies the needs of His people. God always takes care of the needs that we have in this life and beyond. You look at Adam and Eve. What did God do? God set them down in the midst of a garden of plenty. As soon as God made Adam and Eve and gave them their life in the garden, He said, look around. Every tree I have given you is good for food. There's only one off limits. He did the same for us. He put us in a world and He's provided our needs from day one. The breath of life and every meal we've eaten and every need has been met by His gracious hand. Can somebody say amen? Has He been feeding you? You say, I've been going from hand to mouth. That's right. From His hand to your mouth. That's the way it has been. That's the way it always will be. You look at how God took care of His children in the wilderness, Israel. He led them out from bondage, and He didn't just leave them there to fend for themselves. He provided what? He provided the manna. And what a beautiful illustration of how God takes care of us. He took care of them one day at a time. They had to go out there and collect that manna every morning. If they gathered up more than what they needed for that day, the Bible says it bred worms and began to stink. They couldn't do that. God brought it down like a frost upon the ground so that every day they would go out there and they would gather in the bread for that day, recognizing that God had met that day's needs. Now, He took care of them on the sixth day, because He gave them an extra supply, and it did keep on the Sabbath day so they wouldn't have to go out and collect. God took care of them day by day by day. Now, when we read this verse in verse 11, give us this day our daily bread, you know it's almost strange to some of our ears, because here's the truth of the matter. We have far more than just one day's bread probably in our cupboards. We have far more than one day's needs in our refrigerators. When we go to buy groceries, well, we probably don't go every day to buy enough food just for that day. Some of you go every 2 or 3 days. Some of you go every week. Some of you go to Sam's Club and get a month's worth. I don't know. I mean, you're stocked up. You're waiting. You're thinking about hard times maybe. But whether you have a little bit or whether you have a lot, every day, you ought to thank the Lord for that day's provisions. Just because you've got a stockpile doesn't mean that you can rely on you or your income or your provisions. You're still looking to the Lord to provide those daily needs. And I'll remind you of a couple of verses that are wonderful to think about. We think about our needs and how God's able to meet our needs and even beyond. Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus." There's never a shortage in heaven. There's no depression in heaven. There's no recession in heaven. Now, hard times can come, but recognize, folks, that God is able to deliver. And often in our lives, He not only meets the bare necessities, but He gives us far more than we could ever ask for or even expect. The Bible reminds us of that in Ephesians 3:20. "Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think." And when God gives us more than what we need, what's that all about? Well, it's a token of His goodness, but I'll tell you something else. It doesn't mean that we ought to just store it up, you know, stockpile. When He gives us more than enough, He doesn't want us just to store it. He wants us to share it. Let's say on any given day I need a loaf of bread. What if God gives me two? Should I take one and store one? Well, there's nothing wrong with saving. But God wants us to also share. So I take one and I share one. Right? There are others who have needs. That's why we who are given so much are held accountable for what we do and what we have. We ought to be giving people because we have been given so much. Look at the land we live in. Look at how we live. Compared to people in the world, we live like kings. Now, praying this way, "Give us this day our daily bread," doesn't give anybody an excuse to be lazy. You know, a lot of people use a verse like this in a wrong way. Well, I'm just waiting on the Lord to take care of my needs. Do you have a job? No. Are you looking for one? No. Well, you know what the Bible says? Paul wrote to a church in the New Testament, and he said, if any did not work, neither should he eat. Prayer is not an excuse for laziness. Now, if a person is not able to work, that's a different matter. But a person who is able to work, God expects that person to work. Prayer is not a substitute for work. But listen, work is not a substitute for prayer. You say, well, I earn my bread by the sweat of my brow. Well, maybe you do, but who gives you the strength to earn it? Don't ever take credit for your daily bread. God gives you the strength. God gave you the job. God gave you the talent. God gave you the mind. God gave you the people. Whatever you have, it's all God given. So we got to recognize that He's the one who's the need supplier. In prayer, we demonstrate our humility. In prayer, we communicate our needs. Now I want to close with one last thought. In prayer, we eliminate our worries. You know, when we pray this way, it gives no room for worry. Give us this day our daily bread. Did you hear about the person who hired somebody to do his worrying for him? He hired somebody, and one of his buddies found out about it and said, "Hey, I hear you got somebody you've hired to do your worrying." He said, "That's right. You heard right." He said, I hate to be nosy, but I'm just curious. What's that costing you?" He said, "I'm paying him $1,000 a month." His friend looked at him and says, "Where are you going to get that kind of money?" He said, "I'm not concerned. That's his worry." I like that story. I like that. Because that guy understood when you roll your worry off on somebody, you roll it over. You don't worry and or give it to somebody and take it back. Now, is God able to meet our needs? Absolutely. Then why do we worry? Why would we ever want to worry when we're praying this way? Somebody put it to words like this, a little poem. I like this. Said the robin to the sparrow, "I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so." Said the sparrow to the robin, "I think it must be they have no heavenly Father such as cares for you and me." You know, God takes care of the birds, doesn't He? By the way, He doesn't throw it in the nest either. They got to get out there and get it. Like I was talking about work. But the birds don't worry. You know, Jesus said, "Consider the lilies of the field. They're clothed in beauty. And if God takes care of the lilies of the field, the birds of the air, don't you think He'll take care of you? You who are made in His image?" Well, of course He will. Always has and always will. Psalm 37, verse 25. "I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread." Just another way of saying God will take care of it. God's got it all covered. So, don't worry. You know, when you worry, you know what it does? It dishonors God, and it hurts your testimony. How in the world can we expect to tell people to trust our God to take them to heaven, forgive all their sins, to clean up their life, to take care of their deepest needs, if we're not trusting Him for our daily concerns? It's foolish. You never convince them. Listen, people are looking to us to see if we have a quiet confidence in the Lord. Are we fretful? Are we anxious? Are we all tied up in knots? Well, on the job, do you talk about the economy as if, "Boy, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm a child of God, but I'm worried to death"? You lose your testimony. Now, I realize we live in a real world, and we have real problems, and the economy is not good, and some people have lost their jobs, and I'm not making light of that. But this is the time where God's people can show a looking world, a watching world, that we trust Him. That He's got it all in control. And He's going to take care of His children. You know, things may get worse before they get better. But just look at it as an opportunity for us to give a testimony of the Lord's provision. Because He will. He'll take care of His own people. I'll guarantee you He will. He always has. And He always will. Now, I want us to close this service by thinking along this line. It's Mom's Day. And you know what a fitting day to think about, give us this day our daily bread. Because oftentimes, our needs are supplied through our mom's hands. Isn't that true? Some of you are thinking about the biscuits Mom made. Give us this day our daily bread. And by the way, you can pray for a little gravy if you want to. Yeah. I thought about that story. This little boy was at a church feed. And he went through the line, and one of the dear ladies there in the church gave him a great big old piece of cake. And he looked up at her and says, "Thank you." She looked back at him and she said, "That is so sweet. I just love to hear little boys say thank you." He put the cake back up there. And he said, "Put a little ice cream on it and I'll thank you again." Well, you can thank the Lord for your daily bread, whatever form it comes in. My point is, God supplies our needs. And just think over the past years of our lives, how God supplied our physical needs through our loving earthly mothers. Give us this day our daily bread. And He surely has. And moms, you whip up some of the best. Without you, I think we'd starve. You know, in fact, one restaurant has that as their commercial. Without Hardee's, you know, some guys would starve. Well, without mom, we'd all starve. You know. But here's what I want to say. Moms take care of our earthly needs, but they cannot take care of our spiritual needs. That is salvation. Salvation does not come through an earthly mother. Salvation comes through a heavenly father. So you have to look beyond your mother. You know, I'm afraid there might be some people in this world, in fact, there are probably more than we would ever know, who are depending upon the fact that they had a good mother who took them to Sunday school, who raised them right, who prayed for them, and because they have had a good mother or have a good mother, or at least the memories of mom now, that they're going to be all right. You know, mom prayed for me and I know I'll make it to heaven because mom prayed for me. She read me the Bible. Well, you know, unless you have a relationship with Christ and you've trusted Him for yourself, I've got news for you. You're not going to make it. You're not going to make it because of a praying mama. Now, a praying mama can make a difference in your life, and no doubt, salvation has come in answer to many of mom's prayers. But what I'm saying to you is, you have to receive Christ as your personal Savior. And your walk with God is not mama's walk. It has to be your walk. So as we're thinking about our Heavenly Father, let's remember, there's some things we need to go to Him directly for. And that is salvation and our spiritual needs. Thank God for earthly mothers. But thank God for a Heavenly Father and a Savior that He sent. For God so loved the world, He gave His only begotten Son. That anybody who believes in Him, whosoever believeth in Him, should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's bow our heads. Father, today, how we thank You for our earthly mothers. And we thank You that we can celebrate this day in Your goodness and grace. But Lord, as we come to this time of invitation, we want to lift up the spiritual needs of everyone in this church building. Lord, we pray that You'll examine our hearts, that You will put Your hand upon that sore spot, upon that need, upon that guilt, upon that shame, so that we'll recognize there is a problem. And an earthly mother, however loving and however kind she may be, she cannot take away that guilt. She cannot take away that shame. She cannot take that away. Only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse us and make us whole. So Lord, if there's anyone in this building today that needs Jesus Christ as his or her Savior, we pray just now they'll receive Him, trust Him, find that cleansing that only He can provide. Lord, we pray for all of us to have a close walk with You as we leave. Help us to examine our heart. Help us to be honest and open before You and to let You do in our lives and in our hearts what needs to be done before we leave this place. We thank You for the victories that will be won and the changes that will be made because, Lord, Your Spirit will be the doer of it. You'll get all the credit. You'll receive all the glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Todd, if you'll come and